Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Superhero Deep Dive. As always, I am your host, Jason. I have a really cool episode scheduled for today. I'm excited to share it with you because it was one of my favorite heroes of the 90s, and it was someone I felt that could, like, was supposed to be more than he is. So let me get my disclaimers out of the way, and we will get into it. So the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. You can catch me every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio. Their website is outworldfleetradio.online. You can catch me on Instagram and X under Super Deep Dive, where I post superhero memes daily. You can also email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. I'm on TikTok, where I post superhero memes daily under Superhero Deep Dive, and I am on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. If you find me on YouTube, please like, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. I love hearing conversations about superheroes. I love getting your requests for future episodes, fun facts I may have missed, things that you would do differently with the hero, like if you didn't necessarily agree to my ideas, or if you had other ideas of your own. I am 100% about it, and I would love to hear about it. So please like, subscribe, comment, hit that notification bell, all that good stuff. All right, so superhero fun fact. In Marvel's 2010 comic series, S.H.I.E.L.D., they began as the Brotherhood of the S.H.I.E.L.D. As time passed on, it began recruiting known figures in history such as Leonardo da Vinci and Isaac Newton. So Leonardo da Vinci and Isaac Newton were all members of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's probably safe to say Thomas Edison was a member of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, with all his inventions, whether they were taken or not. Nikola Tesla could have been a member of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a pretty cool aspect. It's a pretty cool intro into, I guess, that team or that group. All right, but I am covering Justice. You may also know him as Marvel Boy, or Vance Astro, or Major Victory. He's had multiple iterations, but he's still cool. And his real name is Vance Astrovic. He was born in Socrates, New York, and he was visited as a teenager by an alternate time-traveling version of his future self, Major Vance Astro of the Guardians of the Galaxy, an astronaut who had volunteered for an experimental space flight and consequently been lost in space in cryogenic suspension for 1,000 years. The elder Vance Astro convinced his younger self not to become an astronaut, and in the process sparked the premature emergence of the younger Vance's telekinetic powers. Due to the vagaries of time travel in the Marvel Universe, this did not actually create a paradox, but instead made the Guardian's future world into a parallel timeline, to which they later returned. Although Major Vance Astro had not had a chance to fully develop his psionic power in his time in NASA, the younger Astrovic now had the opportunity to hone his power. Astrovic soon became the costume crime fighter known as Marvel Boy. You may be thinking, like, well, I've heard of Marvel Girl, who is Marvel Boy? He was in the New Warriors, which we will touch on in a moment. Okay. But it's kind of interesting, right? He gets visited by his older self, and that triggers his powers. Now, after his powers developed, Vance's father, Arnold, began to physically abuse him for being different. Running away from home, Vance wound up supporting himself as a professional wrestler in the Unlimited Class Wrestling Federation, a circuit for superhuman competitors. While wrestling as Manglin John Mahoney, he befriended Ben Grimm, also known as The Thing, who at the time was himself estranged from his family, the Fantastic Four. Eventually, Vince was convinced to return home with assurances from his parents that the abuse would stop. When Marvel Boy was rejected for membership in the Avengers by Captain America, he helped found a team of teenage superheroes called the New Warriors. Led by the new hero Night Thrasher, he had many intense times during this early period, such as a fight against the White Queen, her Hellions, and the immortal villain Gideon. At the same time, Vance developed friendships with the other Warriors and a romantic relationship with teammate Firestar, who we did a deep dive on, she is awesome, and his powers increased both in strength and skill. However, his costume activities renewed Arnold Astrovik's prejudice towards Vance's powers. Both Vance and his mother suffered from Arnold's abusive behavior, and Vance instinctively protected himself, with his powers only made things worse with tragic consequences. Now see, this is pretty cool, because this was all done like in the 90s, where they were trying to be kind of gritty. They wanted to add a little bit of realism, but not too much. But they wanted to actually have issues in it, and they handled this one really cool. I can't wait to share it. Give me 1 second to take a sip. Sorry. Okay. So one night, Arnold Astrovik not only attacked a disadvantaged Vance, who was injured in a fight with Terex and further injured by Gideon, but struck his wife when she tried to intervene. In one burst of his ever-growing superpowers and pent-up emotion, Vance lashed out at his abusive father and unintentionally unalived him. Vance turned himself in and went to trial charged with first-degree murder and negligent homicide. So he owned up to it right away. He was defended by attorney Foggy Nelson, and the thing was a character witness for Vance and helped establish the history of abuse that he had suffered, as did Vance's mother, Norma. Other testimony established the good he had done as a costumed hero and his increasing competence with his powers. However, the prosecuting attorney pursued the latter angle, using testimony from Firestar and cross-examination from Norma Astrovik, who's a mom, to establish that Vance could have used his powers to stop his father without lethal force. Finally, in her closing argument, the prosecutor drew a gun on Vance and fired, which was unknown to Vance at the time, a blank round. Instinctively, Vance not only disarmed her, but reacted so precisely that he contained the actual smoke from the gun, driving home the prosecution's case. Vance was acquitted of murder, but he was convicted of negligent homicide. As a result of the trial, Vance's secret identity became public knowledge. So this is crazy. This is crazy. Number one, it wouldn't make sense in a courtroom, only in comic books and TV and movies, but not in real life, that an attorney would bring a gun into a courtroom, because they don't allow that stuff. So it wouldn't have happened. But the fact that they were doing this to prove a point that he did have control really spoke volumes. You know, like, I can't imagine the pain that he went through, and then having control, like, you lose control. It's crazy. Oh, but anyways, Vance was sentenced to serve his time at the superhuman restraint facility known as the Vault. He was shown enjoying the occasional free walkabout on the long road trip to the Vault, joking and playing around with the officers. When his friends Firestar, Namorita, and Nova, which we did a thing on Namorita as well, and Nova's coming up, Nova arrived to free him, Vance protested, declaring he would serve his time. He also said that he was going to be paroled in 14 months, so they would see him again then. Firestar, even though trying to remain restrained, was very upset, and she recognized that Vance wanted to do what Vance wanted to do and came to terms with it. Now, I remember I had this comic. He went and he took on like 4 or 5 of the Vault's guardsmen, who all had like kind of like greenish looking Iron Man type armor. They were not as sophisticated as Iron Man's, but their job is to be the guard for supervillains that are put in the vault. He just takes them all out. And he's still beaten up. He's got a cast on his arm. Just takes them all out. Afterwards, they end up splitting beers. And he's like, yeah, you know, this is cool. His friends come to save him. And he stops his friends. And he's like, no, I believe in the system. You know, what I did could have been prevented. I have to be better. I'm going to do my time. So, you know, his friends like rip the doors off the van. And he helps them put it back on and fix it. He is that guy. It's kind of awesome, that moral compass that he has. All right, but during let's see here. Yeah, during his stay in the vault, he was granted training periods with the guardsmen on duty, determined to hone his abilities to prevent another incident like his father's death. When a riot broke out over the perception of poor living conditions, Vance helped calm the riot by convincing the warden to allow the plant-based villain Terraformer, who was once part of the forces of nature, access to a plant. Despite the warden's fears that Terraformer would use it as an escape attempt, the villain simply enjoyed being with him. This calmed the other prisoners, and it was agreed that on a case-by-case basis, their living conditions could be examined to accommodate superhuman prisoners' unique needs. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, because he believes in the system so much that he puts the system first. You know, not like, oh man, we got to take these people down because they might hurt people. He recognized what the guy may need for rehabilitation and went from there. So it's pretty cool. But after his time in the vault, he adopted the codename Justice. He briefly went undercover working with Shinobi Shaw to spy on the activities of the so-called Young Hunt. The Young Hunt, I believe, was a game by certain like supervillains that were kind of, they were young, they were kind of like bounty hunter upstart people. And they would try to hunt younger heroes and more inexperienced heroes for fun. And they would rack up points. I believe that's what it was. But when the Sphinx, a previous New Warriors foe, dispersed members of the team throughout history, Vance encountered his father as an adolescent and discovered that Arnold, his father, was actually a homosexual who was bullied into accepting a heterosexual lifestyle by his own abusive father. Understanding that his father was as much of a victim as he was, Vance attempted to change history by threatening his grandfather, but stopped when he realized that he was, in his own way, perpetuating the cycle of violence handed down from father to son. Though history remained unchanged, this new knowledge allowed Vance to make a measure of peace with the memory of his father. So that's pretty cool. Like, I just can't get over this guy's moral compass. Like, I mean, it's insane. I'm gonna be saying it throughout the whole thing, and I'm sorry about that, but I loved this character when I was younger. He was so cool, and the more I'm understanding about him, the cooler he is. So let's keep going. Justice spent some time in a leadership role with the New Warriors and talked about marriage with Firestar. However, when she learned that her microwave powers might render her infertile, such plans were endangered. A mystical incident had caused all those who were once Avengers to be targeted by creatures and monsters, and Vance and Angelica accompanied their friend Rage, who had been an Avenger at one point, to a meeting at Avengers Mansion. They willingly helped out in various ways before Morgan Le Fay attacked, altering reality. Vance and Angelica, who was Firestar, were caught up in the literal mystical mystical maelstrom, and were turned into super-powered enforcers under the command of Le Fay. However, several Avengers managed to break free of the control based on their deep belief in the team itself. Vance found himself coming to his senses despite never actually being an Avenger, a fact that surprised the remaining heroes, thus he joined the Resistance. After the threat of LeFay was ended and the two proved themselves by defeating Whirlwind on their own, they managed to become Avengers. Although he was thrilled to be living his lifelong dream of being an Avenger, Vance made some small rookie mistakes at first, stemming from a case of hero worship. We can't blame him for that. I mean, this is the kid's like lifelong dream. He is in there with the big guys, you know? But anyways, however, he proved himself when he came up with a way to defeat the current plans of the current form or forms of the villain Ultron, despite a broken leg. Vance and Angelica then spent some time undercover investigating the Triune Understanding, a cult-like movement with seemingly good intentions but villainous leadership. The Triune Understanding also brought on 3D Man, who we recently did a deep dive with. I would love it if you guys check that out too. Alright, let's keep going. So after the House of M ended, Justice and Firestar were unaffected by the global depowerment of mutants and thus retained their powers. Vance's wish for more in their relationship as opposed to Firestar's wish for less, and this is because Vance was 22 at the time and Firestar was 19, so there was a little bit of an age difference, but it wasn't so much an age difference as that they were in different points in their lives, basically. But that ended their engagement and their relationship. Vance and former teammate Rage learned that people were hunting down former New Warriors members because of perceived blame for the deaths caused by Nitro in Stamford, Connecticut. Okay, now with this, there was a team of New Warriors held up by Speedball who we did a deep dive on. That was actually one of the first deep dives I did. They actually turned their team into almost like a reality show. So they went around and stopped villains, and they found out where some of these villains were hiding. They went to go take care of them, and Nitro literally blew himself up, which that's what he does. He blows himself up and then reforms later. So he blew himself up in a neighborhood and killed a bunch of people, and the New Warriors were blamed for it. So anyone associated with New Warriors was kind of just basically guilty by association. Let's see here. They both sought out the legal services of Jennifer Walters, who is She-Hulk, in protecting the allies of the New Warriors, as their identities were already publicly exposed. They eventually discovered that former New Warriors member Carlton LeFroige, Hindsight Lad, who was the very first superhero deep dive episode, I believe, was responsible for the persecution and exposure of their teammates, operating a website that was slowly outing the identities of the 20 or so remaining New Warriors. That's insane. For someone that sucked so bad, he did so much damage with that. Alright, but both Rage and Justice refused to go along with the proposed Superhuman Registration Act. This is further evidence when they joined Captain America's Secret Avengers during the Civil War as a result of the death of Bill Foster. After the Civil War, Justice was recruited by Iron Man to head the youth outreach arm of the initiative Superhero Training Program based at Camp Hammond. He is clearly unaware of some of the shadier aspects of the program and is growing increasingly irritated by the initiative Drill Sergeant Gauntlet and his constant demeaning and disparaging remarks about the deceased New Warriors. During the investigation of former New Warrior members due to an attack upon Gauntlet, it was revealed to readers that Justice is currently secretly seeing Ultra Girl, a trainee with the initiative and former New Warriors associate. Justice's personal investigation into the fate of initiative recruit MVP opened his eyes to the morally ambiguous activities of the initiative instituted by Camp Hammond director Henry Peter Gyrick. Gosh, I hate that name. Every time his name comes up, something bad happens. As a result, Justice apparently deserted from the initiative to continue his investigation and recruited Ultra Girl, Rage, and other former New Warriors, Debris and Slapsticks, to his cause. After a clone of MVP goes rogue and leaves the initiative with major casualties, Justice and these former New Warriors, along with the two surviving Scarlet Spiders, officially inform Iron Man of their intention to quit the initiative and act as Counterforce, a form of independent oversight for the program. As the group is all registered superhumans, Iron Man is unable to act against Justice's team unless they commit an illegal act. However, Ultra Girl decides to return to the initiative, apparently ending her relationship with Justice. You know, sometimes going against the grain is not for everyone, and that can definitely be a dividing point, so I get it. Now, during the Skrull invasion, Justice and Counterforce encounter Night Thrasher, who we did a deep dive on, at the old New Warriors, looking for a DNA sample to prove whether or not the Night Thrasher that died at Stanford was a Skrull imposter. Counterforce initially believes that Donnell is a Skrull due to his reluctance to reveal his identity and comes into conflict with Donnell's New Warriors. When Donnell finally reveals his identity, the two teams join together to storm the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, where the deceased New Warriors' bodies are being held and recover them. The corpse of the original Night Thrasher is proven to be of human composition, and the two teams bury the bodies outside the old base. When Ragnarok, a deranged clone of Thor, attacks Camp Hammond, oh man, Ragnarok was crazy. Think of like Thor with the Hulk rage. That's what he was. It was insane. But anyways, when Ragnarok attacked Camp Hammond, Counterforce, now calling themselves the New Warriors and boasting Night Thrasher as a member, arrived to help. During the fight, Ragnarok unalives one of the Scarlet Spiders and nearly gets Vance, who was saved by Ultra Girl. After the battle, Vance retrieves the corpse of the original MVP, seeking to give him a proper burial. However, their actions in exposing the duplicity to the public allowed Hammer director Norman Osborn to shut down Camp Hammond and reorganize the initiative, placing villains on initiative teams. The New Warriors rescued Gauntlet and Tigra from the Hood's gang and formed the Avengers Resistance. Things hit the tipping point for the Resistance when Osborn orchestrates a siege on Asgard by creating an incident similar to Stanford. Justice declares that while most of the initiative is busy with the siege, the Resistance will take down Camp Hammer in order to expose Osborn once and for all. Vance becomes one of the teaching staff of Avengers Academy alongside former Avenger teammates Hank Pym, Tigra, Quicksilver, and former New Warriors teammate Speedball. One of his students, Vale, has a secret crush on him until she finds out that he has renewed his relationship with Ultra Girl. His relationship with Ultra Girl is further complicated during the Avengers Academy prom night when Firestar appears. Oh man, that's the worst when you have like your ex-fiancé show up. During the Outlawed storyline, Vance appears as a member of Cradle when a law is passed that forbids superheroes who are under the age of 21. So they kind of like, I don't know how they're going to forbid that, but that's what they did. So that is Justice or Vance Astrovic's story. I'm going to go into Vance Astro's story because he is so closely tied in. So if there's any overlap, I apologize. I want to make sure we get stuff in. But in the meantime, what do you guys think? This guy is awesome, right? Like, he's got a pretty cool power set, you know, your basic telekinetic. But man, like, his constant work ethic, his moral